Hi everybody. Welcome back. We haven't been together in a couple of weeks, so I am happy to be back here with you guys today and talking about loneliness. We're talking about loneliness because in the US they've actually, whenever there is Mental Health Awareness Week, they give it a they talk about it around the topic. And so they are talking about mental health and loneliness and how that is contributing to our mental health and well-being. So today I want to talk a little bit about loneliness and just share my thoughts. There is some research that I'll pull into it, but I also want to talk about the times where I have felt most lonely, where I know people that I've worked with over the years have felt most lonely, and it often isn't when we are alone. It is often when we are surrounded by people and we don't feel seen and we don't feel heard and we don't feel connection, and that's when we feel most lonely. So let's talk a little bit about, let me just first define some of these terms to you guys. So loneliness, obviously feeling a disconnect from fill in the blank. And I'll talk a little bit about what I mean by this, because it's not just about being disconnected to other people that can make us feel lonely. Sometimes it's, you might have a big group of friends, but you don't have a romantic partner, or you don't have a connection to a community, but you have a romantic partner. So there are many things that contribute to loneliness. So a loneliness comes from a disconnect, and that's how I'm going to talk about it. And that disconnect is often, So that's loneliness. Alone, which often sometimes people say, oh, I feel so alone. And I'm sitting in my room alone right now with you guys, obviously. But even when I am sitting alone, or I'm in my car alone, or I'm at the beach alone, that does not mean I will feel lonely. So being alone and being lonely is something different. Solitude is also different from being lonely. Solitude is a choice someone makes and an invitation they take to go towards their inner space and connect with that. So solitude is a state of being alone with yourself, with an intention to connect with the higher power, your higher self, your inner world, and that's what solitude would be, would look like. So loneliness, disconnect, alone, solitude. And I'm gonna use these terms quite a lot. Now, loneliness, thanks to our modern life and the way we are living it, has become quite epidemic, actually. Dr. Vivek Murthy, he was the ex-Surgeon General in the United States. You know, each Surgeon General has sort of an agenda they sort of orient themselves around. And he went around to lots of different communities thinking he's gonna talk about addictions, or he's gonna talk about mental health, or he would talk about obesity, for example. And town after town, city after city, he found that one thing that he was hearing a lot was a loneliness, and how that is contributing to people just not feeling well in themselves. And I've talked about my reservations, I should say, about using the term mental health. Because when we talk about mental health, we think it has to do with our mind and our brain, and that's it. But there's a lot that contributes to our well-being. And I like that word well-being, but it sounds a little bit too fluffy sometimes. And so we talk about mental health as if we're talking about something very serious. But our well-being is very much linked to social connection, is very much linked to what we eat, it's what we drink, etc., right? So it's not just in my brain, it's not just in my mind, it's not just in my body. It is how I interact with the world around me that will contribute to my mental health. So I have my reservations about the word mental health, but until we figure out how to just talk about health in an overall sense, I'll just keep using that. But just know that I have reservations around it. I have my notes here, guys, so I'm looking over here. So Vivek Murthy actually then called it an epidemic. And I know in the UK, they have a czar for loneliness. They are addressing loneliness as if it is a real big concern, because it's not just painful when people are lonely. It's lethal. It's actually similar to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's what kind of havoc it causes in your body. It leads to inflammation. It leads to physical, emotional, mental health concerns. And if we think about it evolutionarily speaking, right? Let's go back, way back. We needed food. We needed water. We needed social connection. And if we did not have other people in our tribe, we would not make it. And so we are really wired for social connection. And our body actually feels threat. Threat equals fight or flight, equals inflammation, equals chronic diseases of the mind and the body. And so when we are not feeling socially connected to others, our body feels like it is under threat and it shuts down. And so it is often the loneliest people that will not reach out for connection, because their brain and their body is not going to allow for that. Sometimes we think, well, why don't you just get up and go out? Yeah, I get that. I mean, there needs to be a discipline in this, but it is often when we are loneliest that we can't. Our brain actually won't allow for that, and our body won't allow for that. Okay, so if we think about mortality risks associated with loneliness, they're higher than what they are associated with obesity, and equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. We talk about smoking campaigns, we talk about obesity campaigns, but we're not really talking about this loneliness campaign, right? And some governments are, obviously, but we need to talk about how lonely we all feel. So I did a survey with you guys on my stories, and 98% of you guys responded that you have felt lonely in the recent past. And that is sad, right? And I know I have felt lonely, and there's a lot of shame associated with that. And I would assume actually that a lot of people don't even know that they're lonely. A lot of times we think we're anxious. We know that feeling. Or we know depression. We know that feeling. But we don't know what is underpinning that might be our disconnection and our loneliness to the things around us, because we're so in our phone, or we're so in our work, or we're so in our, you know, in the future or in the past, that we are disconnected to the experience of being with whatever it is that we're with. There is a book that I have recommended a long time ago. It's in my books under highlights. It's by Johann Hari. I found it to be a profound book, full of awesome research on connection. And he actually said that, and I quote, depression is in fact, what if depression in fact is a form of grief? for our own lives not being as they should, for if it's for grief, for all the connections we have lost, yet we still need. So in this book, he talks about how depression is actually, you know, they have found 9 causes for depression in research. And when we say cause, we actually are saying we've done research and there is a link between this and this. Okay, so a causal relationship between depression and whatever it is that they're talking about. And in this book, he talks about 9 causes of depression. I'm not gonna go through all of them, but 2 of them are biological. 7 of them are about how we live our life. And if we think about, you know, if we think about our own sadness, and in times when we have felt most disconnected, times where we have felt most withdrawn, is usually when we are not connected to. Now, on my previous posts and on all of my Instagram lives, I always talk about the connection to the self, or connection to a higher self, or connection to a higher power. I talk about the connection to the body, the connection to the wounds in us so we can heal them, the connection to our values. I talk about the connection to nature. These are some of the causes for depression. And there are studies that link that people who are disconnected to the natural world, so we live in cities and we're not connected to nature, can increase inflammation and cause havoc in our bodies. And so, you know, being in nature, but experiencing that nature, not just being in nature, not just saying, oh, I have the value of being honest, but not really living it intentionally, or saying, oh, I have so many people in my life. I have a husband and I have children and I have parents and I have siblings, but are you experiencing them when you are with them? Or is there a phone in between you and them and you actually are not connecting to them? So these have been linked to depressive symptoms and symptoms of depression, or clinical depression, I should say. So not just feeling sad and not just feeling hopeless and not just feeling gloomy and not just feeling tearful or irritated, but actually diagnosed as depression. And it may be unfavorable to say as a clinical psychologist, but I do think that there is an over-medicalization of depression. Yes, I am a clinical psychologist, and yes, there are books there that talk about, you know, chemical imbalances, but that chemical imbalance in our brain is a result of so many other things that could be. I can alter my neurochemicals, the chemicals in my body, by giving someone a hug and really mean it. Oxytocin is released. I can alter my chemicals by exercising, where endorphins and serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine, like all of that is released. I can alter my neurochemicals by what I eat. I can alter the chemicals in my body by walking on grass. Like, there are many ways that we can alter our chemicals. So this idea that, oh, it's a chemical imbalance, yeah, but you can chemically imbalance yourself through many different things, not just because, oh, it is hereditary. And we know from epigenetics that, biologically speaking, we might have the gene, but it is my life and how I live it that will click on that, turn on that gene or turn off that gene. I have heart disease in my family. I have, you know, diabetes in my family. I have cardiovascular issues in my family. That is not my destiny. If I choose to live my life a certain way with intention, with absolute commitment to my well-being, I don't have to have heart disease. I don't have to have diabetes. I don't have to have high cholesterol. So it really is about how we choose to live our life. Also, sure, there is a biological component to it, but are we meeting our psychological needs? Are we meeting our emotional needs? Are we meeting our need for connection? Hardwired, softwired, all kinds of wired into us is our need for social connection. And we are lonely because we are not experiencing the other. And we don't feel we belong. We don't feel we can be authentic with the people in our life. We don't think we can be real. Too much of our life is filtered and curated, and we think this is what everyone believes about us. And so I don't feel seen. And when I don't feel seen, I feel lonely. When I don't feel connected, I feel lonely. When I don't feel I belong, I feel lonely. But it is not just about other people, guys. Loneliness, the loneliest that I have ever felt, is when I didn't see me. When I couldn't communicate my needs or my wants or my desires or my longings to another person because I actually didn't see them either. And I was just operating on a checklist, right? And so many people are just going about their life as a checklist, as a to-do list, as a, you know, schedule. And okay, I got it done. I got today done. Okay, I got my kids here and I got my, you know, meal prepared and I got this and I got that. And they're going through their life getting things done, but they're not experiencing them. And they're disconnected to their bodies. And their bodies are sending them all sorts of signals that I'm anxious, I'm overwhelmed, my nervous system is absolutely like stressed. And we can't pick up that signals because we're getting things done. And so being connected to ourselves is going to be the beginning of other connections that we have in our life as well. Because when I see me and I hear me and I show up for me, then I can ask you to be there for me also. So it's very, very important that we do that. So there is so much research about loneliness and connection, but I really want to talk about, okay, so now we know what loneliness is, now we know what can cause loneliness, which is a disconnect. And so I want to talk a little bit about what you can do about that. Now, there is a very big component of you feeling like you belong to a community, okay? So the happiness research, or the research done on loneliness, really it is about where we feel alienated from ourselves and from other people. And there was one thing that really helps with loneliness is having reciprocal relationships. Now this is important, guys, because there's too many people that invest in their social media family, and they invest in their work, they invest in themselves, they invest in traveling, but they're not investing in reciprocal relationships. So, for example, I can go, I can be in a hospital, right? And I can be tended to by a nurse. I'm being taken care of. There is another human being, but that is not a reciprocal relationship. So I will feel lonely if I'm in the hospital bed by myself. because I'm not taking care of her, and there will not be a time in my life where I will take care of her. This is not a reciprocal relationship. And when there is a give and take and an experience with each other, that is a reciprocal relationship. Research was done where in the US they were, you know, they asked, I think in the 90s, how many people do you think you can pick up the phone and call upon in your time of need? And some people, and most people said 5. They did that research recently and people said none. 0. Who can you call upon when you are in need? And who will call upon you in their time of need? That is a reciprocal relationship. And we are not doing enough to invest in those relationships. And oftentimes, because we're so busy or because we're worried about the fact that they're so busy, oh, I don't want to like intrude, you know, some of these things that never used to exist before. I don't want to just show up uninvited. But sometimes you do have to just say to another person that, listen, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm worried about you. I'm just going to stop by. And literally 10 minutes. Oh, but maybe you can come tomorrow. 10 minutes. And I know people have done that to me. And I've really just been like, oh, I don't feel like this. But when they came, I felt better. Again, remember, the mind plays tricks on you when you are depressed and when you're lonely. It is in a fight or flight, defensive, protective mode. So it's not going to want to be around other things or other people. But then when you go and experience that, you're like, well, that felt good. So the experience has to be different before the thought can be different sometimes. Einstein said that you cannot solve the problem with the same mind that created the problem. And sometimes to alter the mind, we have to behave differently. I might be feeling low in my mood, and then I say, you know what, I'm just going to go for a quick walk. I alter my state, and then my thoughts change. So in cognitive behavioral therapy, there is a behavioral component. Oftentimes when we can't get into the cognitions because we're ruminating and we're too much in our heads and we're too like in the grips of our thoughts, we say alter the experience, alter the behavior, and the feelings and the thoughts will change. Meditate and you will stop ruminating about yourself, and you will not have this egoic self will not have a grip on you. Connect and the dopamine and the oxytocin will release and you will feel better. So it's like a discipline with which we have to show up for ourselves and show up for other people in our lives. It used to happen all the time. People would just come, hey, just driving by, just want to say hi. Now it's like you call me and it's like, why are you calling me? Just WhatsApp me. We find it so intrusive, right? And this is why we are feeling lonely. We are feeling lonely because we exist on social media. We message each other on WhatsApp, we voice note, happy birthday, or we call, or we send flowers that are delivered by someone else, and we don't actually show up for each other. And we've become quite insulated in our lives. You know, as you guys know, I'm a Star Wars fan, and I've like read some books about Star Wars, and it talks about like, you know, some authors who have like written about Star Wars and their first experience of watching a Star Wars movie in the 70s. And that was, I mean, you couldn't just like not, there were not theaters everywhere. You had to like go to certain towns, and there was like a ritual around going to see these movies. And, you know, they would go, they would plan, they would even take road trips sometimes to go and sit with a group of people and experience a movie. And then there was clapping, and then there was talking, and then there was, not, don't talk during a movie, but like, you know, like there was, you know, cheers when, you know, things happened in the movie that required you to just feel, or that made you feel excited. It was an experience that you had with a community. Now, what is happening? We're sitting in our rooms, streaming, Netflixing, you know, YouTubing, iMovieing. This is what we're doing. We don't go to the theater. And now, you know, thanks to our COVID, that was another thing that really just, we became so isolated and insulated. And we, you know, this kind of normal interactions just weren't happening. You know, talking to each other, whether we were standing in line or sitting with each other, experiencing a new movie together, those kinds of things weren't happening. And so I think modern life has made it too easy for us to be just alone. Hybrid working, especially for people that are introverts, like, yeah, I'm gonna gravitate towards like, oh, let me just stay at home and work from home. And that can feed my loneliness. Because something happens when I show up to work. I say hi to people. I'm at the coffee machine making coffee. And, you know, a conversation happens. A need is met, guys, that we don't know and we don't realize. And we realize, you know, in our psyche, in our physical body, our nervous system is feeling connected and it feels a belonging, even though we might not value it, like cerebrally, or we might not give it a lot of importance. Something has happened that has altered you and that has changed you in that brief interaction that we have with someone that is undistracted, you know, and connected. So cannot underestimate the importance of being in reciprocal relationships where you are in a give and take relationship. This is the person that will give you and you will give to them in times of need or also just in times. That is important to invest in. Being connected to a community is important. Bees need a hive, humans need a tribe. It's just the way it is, guys. And it does not have to be your family necessarily, but you do need to belong to something. There are people who belong to, like, you know, running clubs, and, you know, it's also like a lot more beneficial for your health. I don't know if you knew that when you run in a pack, we were meant to run in packs. We're not meant to run solo. And it's actually much better for your physical body, you know, all different kinds of chemicals are released when you run together with people. So, but tribe in a work tribe or a social tribe, friends that you belong to, rituals that you have together, this is something that we need to invest in. And I live in Dubai and I'm an expat in Dubai. And that is something that expats really have to be very mindful and intentional about. Oftentimes we're like, oh, well, I'm just here for 3 years. Like, I don't want to really invest in another, you know, set of friends. I'm too old to make friends. You need a tribe, guys, or you're going to not feel so good. Like, you're not going to feel good. And more, we need to be deliberate and intentional about belonging to communities. And building a tribe. But how do you do that, right? It's not just about, oh, I have a WhatsApp group and now I belong, or I, you know, go running once a week. It's not just that. Like, it's good you do that, but there must be rituals around it. Communal living is really good for your health. I'm not saying we need to, like, go live on a farm somewhere, although that just sounds so amazing. But we do need to have things that we do in a ritualistic kind of way. We meet once a month, or we meet once a week, or we meet every birthday, or we meet every, you know, like, there needs to be rituals that we create around our community. It's not just enough that we say we belong. We must feed that. Come together in times of grief, when there is a loss, that we show up, We come together in times of joy. We come together in times of need. Because it's a funny thing that happens within groups, that when someone shows up, it is inside of us, intrinsically programmed, that we will come to their aid. It just happens. We are not trying to come to their aid. We just do. We start to problem solve. We start to think about things. We start to rally. We start to gather. We start to, you know, we start to raise money. This is what we do because we see an issue and we think we have some, we can do something about it. So belonging to a community and having rituals around how we connect within that community is going to be important as part of your, you know, antidote for loneliness. Then is going to be a connection to the self. Now, the connection to the self, there are many, many layers to this, guys. I will be the first one to tell you that, oh, I connect to my thoughts and I journal and I go for walks and I do these things, but the body holds our trauma. The body holds our wounds. The body is a big part of our nervous system. And if we are disconnected to our bodies, and I am telling you, the majority of the people that I come across, including myself up until 3 years ago, are disconnected to their body. And I am now talking about the experience of things. I can think about things, I can plan things, I can do things, but am I being with those things? That is missing. Being with is missing. And that is our body. And our body first needs to heal, right? It needs a lot of healing. It needs a lot of soothing. It needs a lot of calming. It needs a lot of regulating before it can say, oh, I am now open to this experience. What is happening, guys, is that we are reading a lot. We are learning a lot. We are doing a lot, but we are not being with that because our bodies are absolutely just, you know, strung out because of the inflammation and the stress within our bodies. So until our bodies have healed, we cannot be open to that experience of being with something. So I can travel the earth, I can have the most wonderful foods, be around the most wonderful companies, but if I am like this, because my nervous system is so, you know, inflamed, I am not locking that in as a memory. That is not releasing the positive chemicals in my body that I need. I am not feeling a sense of connection because there is a wall around me that is protecting me. And in some research, it's saying that most of us are now living in a moderate level of fight or flight all the time. I know when I'm in a fight or flight. I know when someone comes, my kid or my husband will come and they'll be like, hey, what are you doing? And I do this, that's my nervous system saying, you aren't getting what you need, girl. Like when I am that agitated and that irritated, you know, that's when I know that I'm headed down a path which requires me to regulate my nervous system. So most of us are not living in that regulated nervous system state. Most of us are overworked, overcommitted, overscheduled, you know, hyper engaged with social media, hyper engaged with technology, not sleeping enough, definitely not eating the right things, not moving enough. That is the most of us. And that is just not what a body needs. A body needs a whole lot of things. And before you can alter this, you must alter this. I'm reading a lot about experiencing in order to transform. And when you are transformed, you experience something different. And I go back to this Einstein quote that I just mentioned, that you cannot solve the problem with the same mind that created the problem. And Tantra, which is the Sanskrit word for method, it talks about, before I tell you anything, right? Before I tell you anything about what you must do, I need you to do this. Before I can explain to you why you must do this, you just do it. And all of our religions and traditions tell us this. Just do it. You don't understand it. You don't know why you're doing it. You don't know what. I used to say to my mom all the time, why do I have to, you know, do the wudu, which is like where you are cleansing of your body before every Islamic prayer. So we pray 5 times a day and you have to do this ablution, and it's called wudu, and you actually are washing parts of your body before you do it. Why? I would ask my mom, why am I doing that? Every single time. Like, I'm clean. I know I'm clean. I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and the answer showed up for me. Now, I don't know if this is what God meant, but when you are doing that washing, because I know in the Japanese tradition, they also wash before they enter the temple. You know, they wash certain parts of their body before they enter the temple. You are cooling off all the meridians, your ankles, your in between your toes, in between your fingers, you know, up, you know, all the way up here is a meridian. Here is a meridian. Behind your neck is a meridian. Because why am I cleaning my neck? I don't get it, right? I would ask these things. Behind your ears, in your ears are meridians. And when you have used water to cool off your body and to center and ground your body using the earth's element of water, what happens after that? The prayer is just going to be a whole lot deeper than if you hadn't done that. So the answer came. So you must first do, and then the answers will come. We first are like, well, first convince me, then motivate me, then inspire me, and then I will do. No, there is a discipline even in tackling loneliness. Even in tackling loneliness, there is a discipline that I don't feel like this right now, but I'm gonna do it because this is what I have to do in order for me to be well. I don't feel like going out with my friends, but I'm gonna do it. I can do it within certain parameters. I'm not gonna do it maybe on a Wednesday night or something, but you know, I just gave away my social life, but you know, but I will go. And you know, I will just stop by for an hour on a Wednesday, and I will make time, as I make time for the meetings in my life and the clients that I serve and the community that I serve, I will make time for connection. It has to be scheduled in. Connection with myself, connection with my body, connection with my healing, connection with my exercise, connection with nature, connection with my community. It has to be a discipline. And when you do it enough, you will be transformed. And from that transformed state, you will understand why you needed to do that in the first place. That's the only thing. And I tell this to my kids all the time. You cannot understand it right now. Just trust me. Do it. Do it and just trust me. And eventually, when you do it enough, you will know. So there is a level of trust and faith that is required when we are talking about our well-being and we are talking about our mental health or our physical health, that, you know what, I think I know enough. I don't need to read any more books or attend any more courses. I just have to do it. And your saboteur in you is going to come out and say, is going to come out and say, well, maybe you should just read one more thing. or maybe you should just do that, or maybe you should, no, I know enough. I know enough. All of you guys know enough. You know exactly what you need to do. You just need to do it. And do not wait for motivation. Do not wait for inspiration. Discipline yourself. Look at your schedule. Look at how are you spending your time. Look at your relationship with social media. I'm a big fan of social media. I think it is absolutely powerful in what it can do for the world. But guys, I can tell you that majority of the people are not using it with boundaries in place, with a system in place, with consideration, with, you know, consideration for the implications of what that's doing to their life, what that's doing to their experiences. You know, philosophers have said that we have intrinsic value and extrinsic values. So if I get, you know, if I cook something, that's not gonna happen. If I get dressed, for example, if I get dressed up, because I like to get dressed up in the morning and it really puts me in the right frame of mind and I like to just be ready for the day. Now, if I'm getting dressed up because it makes me feel good, it makes me feel prepared, it makes me, you know, show up for myself. That is an intrinsic value, is why I get dressed up. Now, if I'm getting dressed up because I need to take a picture so I can post something for someone, that is an extrinsic value. If your social media engagement and if your life in general is based off of too much extrinsic value, then it's gonna start to feel hollow. And I can tell you, having worked with people that have been influencers in their past life or in their current life, I can tell you people who invest a lot of time working on social media because that is their livelihood, that line can get really blurry sometimes. Am I doing this for myself, or am I doing this because I have to make a story about this? Am I doing this for myself, or am I doing this because I have to post something about this? That experience can be really, really dysregulating and discombobulating in our minds. And that is where social media is creeping into the joy of the experience. Because I will be eating a wonderful meal, but then I'm like, oh no, but I have to like really post about this because I haven't posted anything on my stories and I should. That experience just got stolen. It's gone. It's no longer about me. It is about what I'm showing, right? And so if I can just savor some things for myself, connect with those things deeply for myself, whether it's dancing, whether it's going out, whether it's traveling, whether it's being in nature, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's being with my kids, savor some moments and then also post other moments, because that is also part of your life and that is also part of your job for some people. It really is very important, guys, that you consider social media and your relationship to it. It has seeped in to our lives in a way that has made our experiences hollow. And though that hollowness, that's what loneliness feels like. I don't know if you can tap into that loneliness. It's like a void. It feels like a void inside. And there have been so many people that have been in the public eye that felt high levels of hopelessness. If we talk about, you know, I'm talking about celebrities and some who've taken their life because they just never felt seen. Everyone saw them, but they never felt seen. And it's who are you around and are you seeing yourself? When it becomes too much about other people, guys, it becomes dangerous. And it loses its potency. It's like diluted. And that diluted, I mean, is the opposite of savoring something. Dilution, right? If I really want the intensity of something and I want to savor it, I just need to be with it fully. So there's so many layers to this. You know, I can't just come on here and, okay, guys, you're lonely, now go do this. And it's not like that. It is a whole mind, body, spirit, social, emotional, mental, physical experience of being, what it means to be a human. It's about all of that. And if you are not tending to all of those things, then something is going to feel diseased inside of you. So it is a lot to hold, right? To live well is not easy, but it is very doable because there are people who are doing it. There are people on this planet that can do it, and you don't have to like run off to some corner of the earth and, you know, live on a farm, which I am contemplating. But how do I do that in my life? How do I show up for you guys? How do I show up for my kids? How do I show up for my work? How do I show up for my body? How do I show up for my spirit? How do I show up for my nervous system? How do I show up for my friends? It's doable. There are 160 hours in a week. Do I live them with intention? Do I live them with consideration? Most of us are not. Guys, we are drifting through our days, and that's why we feel hollow. We're drifting, and we're online, and oh, next thing you know, I'm on social media, and the next thing you know, I'm this. And like, we're drifting from one technology device to another, and not anchoring ourselves in the different places that we're in and experiencing it fully. So if you were to say, okay, well, thanks for all of that, Salah, tell me what I need to do, I would say, think about what it means to be a human in your totality. Look at your week. How are you spending that time? Look at how you spent yesterday. And I don't want you to just kind of wing it and guess, okay? I really want you to start charting down how you are spending your time. Who are you spending your time with? How much are you on social media? How much are you with your children? What do you do when you're around your children? Even if you're doing a movie night, are you on your phone the whole time while you're watching a movie? Or are you actually in that experience with them? I'm totally guilty, I've done it, guys. There are times where I've like seen the movie and I'm like, oh, let me just check my, you know, whatever. And it's not. It's about laughing and joking and, oh, watch it, guys, here it comes. Like, it's about the experience of all of that. And they feel it. So how are you spending your week? Just first go ahead and track it for 1 week. Think about how much time, and not think, but just track how much time you are on social media. What are your time wasters, energy wasters, time drainers, energy drainers? Who are your friends? The five people that you're gonna call in times of need and in times of joy. Have you seen them recently? If not, schedule it. Say, hey, I wanna just, let's grab a coffee, you know, this morning, or let's go for a walk. Or I go, you know, to the beach for an hour on Saturday. Why don't you meet me there? Like, it doesn't have to be these long extended experiences. It's about connecting. Are you deliberate about that? Think about what you have done for your community. Guys, service matters. It cannot be just about us. There's so many research studies done now on this, that the more individualistic you become, the less happier you become. You are connected to a tribe and a community, not just your people, but a larger community. What have you done for that community recently? If you haven't, schedule it in. Everything has to be scheduled in or it's not going to get done. The to-do list is too long, guys, and the work is too much. If you don't schedule it in, it ain't going to happen. Every phone call I make, everything I do, you know, is going to be in my book. It is. And I know people are like, well, what about spontaneity? I will schedule time for spontaneity. It'll just be a block. And I don't know what's going to happen that time, but it's going to be scheduled in because there is no time unless you make time. Because there will be people and things that just seep into that space and disconnect you from that experience. So when I say it's time with my kids, it's time with my kids. And everything else has to be put away. If it's time with my husband, it's time with my husband. If it's time with my community, it's time with my community. So it really is about protecting these things that we do that serve our connection to ourself, our connection to each other, our connection to our community, our connection to nature, it's an important one, our connection to our body, our connection to our spirit, which is also linked to our values. We must make that into our weekly schedule. And if it's not in your weekly schedule, and if it's diluted by technology, it doesn't count. Okay? I have some time for questions. Let's see. So, let's see. Guys, can you put the questions in the Q&A box? Yes, it will be saved. So someone asked about, you know, can you feel lonely in a marriage? Oof. Sometimes it's the loneliest we can feel is in our marriages. In our marriages and our closest relationships, in our families, we can feel lonely. And, you know, often celebrations like Eid or Christmas or Thanksgiving or these kinds of places when we are surrounded by our family that we feel the loneliest because we realize that no one really sees us and no one really knows us. And that is the biggest sort of, you know, symptom of loneliness is that I don't feel seen and I don't feel known and I don't belong. So seeing yourself and showing up for yourself is going to be an important part. And you might not feel that you can be your authentic self in front of your family, but you've got to have places where you can be your authentic self. So I'm not saying now you have to go run away from your family. I will never say this, and I would never condone this. But I will say that that's not going to feed that part of you. You might be showing up out of duty and obligation. And we do have a duty and an obligation to our families. So you might be showing up there from that space, or a certain part of you can be authentic in front of them, but not your whole self. But not everyone needs to see your whole self, right? That whole self must be an earned space and a sacred space that you share with people that are truly your tribe. And they see all of you. And I can count on one hand the people in my life that know all of me. You guys see a part, and my family might see a part, and you know, my friend, this one might see a part, my colleagues might see a part, but who sees all of me? You know, there are only certain people that will experience all of those parts. The angry and the, you know, the dragon lady that comes out, like those parts, and they see all of that and they accept me. And they've seen me lose it and they accept me. And they've seen me in my darkest and they've been with me. Like that, I'm talking about all those parts. I should try to show up as authentically as I can in front of you guys, but you haven't seen me lose my, I'm not gonna swear, you haven't seen me lose my lid, okay? And so, like, you haven't seen that part of me. I must say that it doesn't come out as often as it used to. My nervous system is healing and I am tending to that part. But when it happens, like, stay clear. It really can be, So someone asked, you use a paper diary to organize your life. In times of high stress, I get onto paper because I know I like to manipulate things in front of me. So I'm not doing it for the community, but I do a talk on scheduling because you know how to manage your schedule, you know how to manage your life, and you will be able to do everything you need to do because you need to think about it. Like, you know, all these great authors and, you know, Michelangelo's and, you know, Picasso's, all of these guys also had just 24 hours in a day. And so we do need to, make the most out of those 24 hours. And how do you do that is if you know what's happening in those 24 hours. What you don't measure, you cannot manage. And so I am all about, like, where is my time? You can ask my assistant, you can ask, you know, my friends, like, it is scheduled in. And if it's not in the schedule, it doesn't happen. Literally every detail of my life will be scheduled. And if I don't schedule something in, I feel like I'm drifting. And I am not, by the way, I am not one of those people. I really like to be spontaneous, but I realize that if I leave it to spontaneity, nothing gets done. So get it, if you want to get things done, like connection, which is what the topic is, like well-being, like exercise, like sleeping is scheduled in. Like, this is bedtime, turning it off. Like, how do you schedule all of that in? So I have a Google calendar, which can be manipulated by people who need to drop things in. So I might have office hours and people block those in. But in times of like high crunch time, I move on to paper. And the paper starts at 6 a.m. and goes till 11 p.m. And it's literally by the 30-minute slot. And I start to look at my schedule in that way, and I start to move things around. And there are things that are done in ink, and there are things that are done in pencil. Ink is just non-negotiable. Like, I'm exercising, I am horse riding, I am whatever. Like, these are gonna be non-negotiables for me, and everything else is going to be negotiable, or family time and, you know, connecting with, you know, like Saturday lunch with my family, like non-negotiable. Like, I'm not gonna work on a Saturday. It's just not gonna happen. And I've had to say no to so many opportunities that happen on a weekend. I cannot compromise at this time in my life. These very, very valuable moments I have with my children, with my father, with my mother, that this is too big a price to pay. So what am I saying yes to first goes in ink. And then everything else gets built in around that. So that's how, I think Jamie Wheel calls it hedonistic scheduling. I just call it life. let's see. Some of these are not related to the topic. So if you guys could message me on DM, I will answer those questions for you separately, or I'll do a Q&A next week. So someone said, how do you maintain a schedule and be consistent about it? You just do it. You don't wait till you feel like it. You just do it. You schedule it in. You look at when it's best for you. So a lot of times people say they can't stick to a schedule because for exercise, for example, but they haven't really figured out that they don't like to wake up first thing in the morning, or there's, you know, they're trying to do it right after work. You've got to know when you have the most energy and when you are most likely to say yes or no. I can guarantee you that if I put my exercise after work, it will not get done. Because there's always a crisis that shows up that I have to stay late for, or a meeting that bleeds over, or my kids that, you know, get sick, or someone calls me, or right after work. And so I'm not risking that. It's too important. Exercise is way, 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 way too important for me to risk it after work. So I drop it in first thing in the morning before anyone can show up in my schedule. I've got it done. And so, and it's 30 minutes, guys. It's not like I'm exercising for hours at a time. This morning, I didn't have a lot of time. I had to get ready. I had to do a lot of things. I just went running outside onto the street for 25 minutes, came back in, and I was done. So you've got to say, I'm gonna do this, and it's gonna be done in a hurried way, not this like long journey to the gym and then exercising and coming back and showering. It's too long of a journey. So sometimes we overcomplicate things, and that's why they're not getting done. Sometimes they're not getting done because we don't understand ourselves and our patterns and what works for us and what doesn't. And we think, oh, well, Susie does it after work, so I'll do it after work. Uh-uh, you ain't Susie. And you've got to be Sal. And so it ain't gonna happen unless you get it done first. So it really comes from a high level of self-awareness and pattern recognition that, oh, look at what's happening. Every time I do it after work, it doesn't happen. So I'm gonna try it before work. I'm gonna just do it for 25 minutes. I'm gonna, etc., etc. Okay? So, and then you don't wait till you feel like it. You just do it. That's as simple as that. Nike did not pay me to say that. But sometimes we overthink it. Put your shoes on and go for a walk. That's it. It's really that simple. Put your baby in that stroller and just go for a 20-minute walk. It really is that. And I have four children. I totally get how it can just be, but sometimes we overthink things and we've overthought the problems rather than just saying, I'm gonna put my shoes on, I'm gonna go outside for a walk. Oh, I have to have the right outfit, or I don't wanna sweat, and oh, maybe I have to take a shower, or maybe, you know, overthinking it, okay? So just do it. All right, guys, I'm gonna go off now to my other stuff, and it was really a pleasure to be with you guys again. I'm gonna do a Q&A next week, hopefully, unless I come up with another interesting topic. You guys are always welcome to share topics with me, and then I would be very happy to talk about those. But this week I wanted to talk about loneliness and how it impacts our overall health. And remember, guys, it is a discipline. It's a discipline to show up for yourself and for each other, and in an undistracted way. So just do it.